Every now and then. Well, morning, everyone. Today's daf is Chav Beis in Ksuvos. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is one of Zech and Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We're on the very top of Chafaf Amid Beis. More on Kiyum Shtaris. This is the last day we're going to do on Kiyum Shtaris. Gemara has dedicated itself three blot of Gemara to this topic of Kiyum Shtaris. So let's do a recap as we're approaching the end of this topic. When you have two Edom signing on a document, that's it. That gives the document now the force and the power so that the note holder can now collect a loan in the event that he wants his money back. Just in the chance event. And yet, Chachamim put a security measure on the document. In order to be able to collect the document, so the signatures have to be authenticated. This authentication process of the signatures is what's called Kiyum Shtaros. And Kiyum Shtaros can be done in one of three ways. As we learned back, you can either have the original witnesses coming in front of Basin and saying, that's our signatures. Two, you can have another set of witnesses who recognize these signatures saying that we were the ones, we recognize these signatures. Three, you can have a previously challenged document have already been authenticated and compare this document to a already pre-authenticated or previously authenticated document. Okay, three different ways that one can be involved in Kiyum Shtaros. This halach of Kiyum Shtaros is a din d'rabbanan. We're going to see that moment. And the Gemara actually saying that it's a measure that was done by the Chachamim, so that because the Chachamim were the ones who put this security measure in, so there are certain leniencies that are applied, and we're going to go over that leniencies in just a moment in the Gemara regarding Kiyum Shtaros. Why are we talking about Kiyum Shtaros and Ksuvos? It's a strange time to talk about Kiyum Shtaros. So it came into the Gemara because of the principle of Hapesha Asur Hapesha Iter. Because when the witnesses come forward, the witnesses say, you know, these are our signatures, but let me tell you a little bit more information and some damning information. So we believe them based on the principle of Hapesha Asur Hapesha Iter. When we finish Kiyum Shtaros today, God willing, on Chav Beis, so we're going to move back to the topic of Ksuvos and about Ishus and marriage, but we're still going to stay on the topic of Hapesha Asur Hapesha Iter. So the global discussion that we're having in the second parak of Ksuvos is the topic of Hapesha Asur Hapesha Iter, and Kiyum Shtaros is just but one example of this global topic. Remember yesterday, what we tried to do in the world of Kiyum Shtaros is we try to combine a witness and a judge. Right? We have the Gemara quoted yesterday a statement in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, that if you have an aid and you have a dayan, and they both say that the signature is a good signature, the witness is coming from a witness perspective, the judge is coming from a judge perspective, and the two of them are combining, so the Gemara quoted the name of Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, that's good. The Gemara says, that's good, that's not good. So the Rami Bar Chama heard that statement and he loved it. Right? Remember the bottom of the previous Amud. He thought that was the greatest thing he's ever heard. And to which Rava says, it's not the greatest thing. It's not the greatest thing I've ever heard. It's far from it. In other words, you can't combine a witness and a judge. They serve as two different roles. No, you can't put those two pieces of information together. And the Gemara rejected that statement of Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. We are now on the top of Chafal of Amid Beis, and basically we're going to hear this point one more time. Ikla Rabbanai Achud Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Miz Ben Shum Shemei. So Rabbanai, name of an Amora, the brother of Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, so he went to go purchase sesame seed. Okay, Gemara over here, it's not exciting detail in the story, but the Gemara is just simply pointing out that they're business, they're doing transaction, and they're still learning in Torah, they're still talking in Torah. The Amar Rabbi Amar Shmuel, sorry. Okay, yeah. Okay, I see it. Amar Achi Amar Shmuel, Eid V'dayim Mitztarfin. So again, so he made the statement that if you have an Eid and you have a Dayan, you can put the two together in order to be Mekayim Shtar. Amar Amemer Kamama Yahash Maisa. So Amemer says, fantastic. That's such a great statement. So Amar Le Rav Asher Amemer Mishum Dekalsei Avu Adimech Anami Mekalsei. So he basically like father, like son. In other words, your grandfather, the father of your mother. So he praises, and Rashi points out that he's referencing Rami Bar Chama. You know, Rami Bar Chama praised it, and he's your grandfather, and he thought it was great. Now you think it's great, and it's not great. So Kvar Parche Rava. You remember what Rava said in the previous Amud? Rava says, no, you can't put an Eid and a Dayan together. That doesn't work. And so Gemara once again rejected it. Amr of Safra, Amr Rabbi Abba, Amr of Yitzhak, Bar Shmuel, Bar Marta, Amr of Huna, V'Amri La. Okay, so one version has it that going all the way back to Rav Huna. Another version, Amr of Huna, Amr Rav, or the second version is Rav Huna says in the name of Rav the following. Shlosha Shiyashu L'Kayim Asashtar. Okay, here we start. start now with a new wrinkle in the halachas of Kiyum Shtar. So let's say you have three judges. Well, I jumped ahead of myself for just a moment. Let's say you have three people who are going to be Mekayim Shtar. Okay, so you have a document in front of us, two witnesses signed on the document, and then we are now having three people looking at the signatures. Shnai makir chasimas yedei edim. Two of those three people recognize the signatures. Ve'echadeno makir, and one of the three doesn't recognize. So how do you do this? So ad shelo chasmu. So here's what you do. Before anyone signs anything, so me'idim b'fanav, so the two who recognize the signatures are going to testify in front of the one who doesn't, and they're going to say, we recognize the signatures. So now the one heard testimony. V'chosem. So, and then they're going to sign. So in other words, what just happened over here? What happened over here is that one of those three is for sure acting strictly as a judge. Meaning he doesn't know the signatures. He's being told that those signatures are in fact authentic signatures. So that one person is acting as a judge, that's clear. But what about those two? Those two are serving as a dual role. First, they're testifying, which means that first they're Edim, and then what happens is they jump to the other side of the bench, and then they act as judge. This gets on to the topic of Eidnas Adayan, whether or not a witness can become a judge. Sounds like from the Gemara, sure, a witness can become a judge. In fact, in this case, two witnesses are becoming judges. So the Gemara is going to, in a moment, wonder, not yet, but shortly enough, the Gemara is going to say, I thought we can't do that. I thought a witness can't become a judge. So stay tuned, as the Gemara in a moment is about to ask a question. But right now,
can become a witness.
Huh?
The judge can become a witness.
Right now, let's move in the direction of witness to judge. That's the, because that's what's happening over here, and that's generally speaking what happens. But I'm not the other direction. I'm not sure. Anyway, and later we'll talk about why that's true. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara is saying it can happen, and then later Gemara is going to say, but I thought that can't. Anyway, but in the meantime, however, so the Gemara says, but in other words, after they signed it, ain't meidim b'fanav. So then they can't testify in front of them after they signed, because you can only sign that you know the signature only if it was first testified to you, then and then you're allowed to sign. So so the Gemara is bothered right now by a very technical problem. And that is right now what the Gemara is thinking, is that they wrote the Ashrasa, they wrote the henpik, they wrote the certification note on the document, and then they heard the testimony, and then they signed. To which the Gemara says, wait a second, in of itself, that you can't do. You can't write something like a certification, like a henpik, like anything without first hearing the testimony. If you write the ashrata before you hear from the witnesses that these signatures are authentic, that's no good. First you have to hear the testimony, then and only then do you sign off. So the Gemara says that doesn't work. So why doesn't it work? The Mishnah Shikra. And it's very simple. Because if you're writing something like, we know these signatures are good, even though the judge didn't sign any yet, but just even the act of writing it down before they heard it, Machzei Keshikra, that looks like a lie. So Achanami Mischazei Keshikra Ela Eimachlo Kosvu Made in front of Vechosim Mishikosvu and Made in front of Vechosim. Okay, so the Gemara makes just that short correction, and that is that you're right. The three people, again, we'll go back to the beginning of the story. Three people are there. Two of them recognize the signatures. You don't write anything. Don't write any part of the Ashrasa. Two will testify in front of the one. After that, then you write the Ashrasa and then you sign the Ashrasa. Good. Shema min Atlas, the Gemara says, three things are happening over here, three halachic conclusions. Number one, Shema min Aidnas Adayin. First of all, a witness can become a judge. Okay, that's clear. Two people are testifying in front of one, and then those two people are going to go to the other side of the bench and become the judges. That's clear. Okay, and again, later in just a moment, I know I keep teasing it, but in just a moment the Gemara is going to say, but I thought that can happen. Okay. Shema mina, dayanim ha-makir chasimas yedei edim, ein etzrichim lahayid bifneihem. Also, another point says the Gemara. Let's say the judges recognize the signatures. They don't need testimony. Meaning, the whole purpose of judges signing is to authenticate the signature. If the judges already know the signatures and they already recognize the signatures, they don't need edus. You don't need a formal declaration. So the Gemara says, you see that from here as well. Because two of those quote-unquote witnesses, well, not quote-unquote, they are witnesses. Two of those witnesses are going to end up serving as judges. They know the signatures. No one testified to them. So it's pretty clear also that if you know the signatures, you don't need testimony. You can go straight to the part of judgment. And if Shmamina, and a third point, furthermore, another point to consider. In the story, how many people recognize the signature? Two of the three. Couldn't the two just say to the third, look, we got it. We know these signatures are good. You'll sign on with us. Smoke halai. Right? You know, you rely on us. We know it's good. You'll sign on with us. It's also pretty clear from the story that every dayan who's going to be signing on that has to either know or be testified to that this signature is in fact a good signature. So again, it's pretty clear from the story because the Gemara's conclusion wasn't just let's have those two sign and say to the third, hey, you sign with us. And we got this covered. We know they're good signatures. Okay, so three halachic conclusions come out from this incident. Number one, that you can go flip from being a witness to being a judge. And that's pretty clear. Two is that if you're a judge and you know the signatures, you don't need to be testified to. You could just simply sign right on the ashrata, right on the kiyum. And three is that every judge who's signing has to either know or be testified to. Those are the three halachic points that the Gemara concluded. So, maskal Rav Ashi Bishlam Eidnasa Dayan Shamina Mina. So, as far as your first halachic conclusion is concerned, that's soundproof. Absolutely, it's very clear. Two people testified, then they served as judges. Good, but Ella Dayan Amakir Chasimas Yedeinim Srechem Laad Bifneim. So the Gemara says, but what was your other point? That if you are a judge and you know the signatures, you don't need to be testified to. Gemara says, that might not be true. Demala olam emel chatzrichim. Could be that, no, the judges need to be testified towards. V'shani hachad dekam mekai mehagad bechad. What happened over here? Over here, one of the three did receive edus. And maybe that's enough. Meaning, in the case of kiyum shtaris, I always need testimony. Even if all three judges know the signatures, you need testimony. It's just part of the process of kiyum shtaris. Over here, what happened? One of them did receive testimony. And maybe that's enough, meaning we have now a fulfillment of Haggadah, meaning there was testimony. But maybe you're not right, meaning you wanted to conclude from the story that if all three of them knew the signatures, then we don't need testimony at all. Maybe that's not true. Maybe you always need testimony. And the Gemara says that, and also what was that third point that we were considering? That every one of the judges are going to be signing either need to know the signatures or need to be testified towards. And again, how do we arrive at that conclusion? Because again, two knew it, one didn't know it, and they didn't say to him, come on, just sign with us. All three of them had to sign. So the Gemara says, Dilma la'olam, eim l'cha ein tzrichim. The Gemara says, maybe that's not true. Maybe the truth of the matter is that I don't need all three of them to know the signature. But over here, we just needed Haggadah, meaning part of the process of kiyum shtaris is that there has to be testimony. That's the only reason why two testified in front of one. Not to let the last guy know that the signatures are in fact authentic. Maybe that's not necessary. But over here, if the two didn't testify in front of the one, then I don't have testimony, and maybe part of the process of kiyum shtaros is that by definition I need testimony. So the third conclusion the Gemara says also is not a foolproof conclusion as well. Fine. So,
and you need three for
kiyum shtaros. And three is an absolute. Okay. What just happened over here in the Gemara? So there was an incident. The Gemara had three halachic points. The Gemara says the first one is ironclad. You're right. Two and three, debatable. Again, going back to the first point, you can testify about with signatures, and then you can jump to the other side of the bench, and you become now a judge. Good. The Gemara says, why is that good? That's not good. You can't do that. The Gemara is about to ask this question. Yosef Rabbi Abba Kamal Hashmaita De Nasa Dain Esvera Safala Rabbi Abba Raushlosha Vein Bezdin Yamdu Shnayim Vyoshivu Mechare Metzal Yachid. Gemara over here is quoting a mission from Rosh Hashanah. Not that long ago, we saw this mission together. The mission of Rosh Hashanah describes how three judges are looking up and they see the new moon. Excitement. Okay, Rosh Chodesh. They're about to be Mekasha Chodesh. So what do you need? You need two witnesses that are going to be testifying in front of a Beis Din. Right now I got three of them, but they happen to be the Beis Din. So what do you do? Two are going to step off the bench, go down, so to say, serve as witnesses. And now these two are now going to become witnesses, and you need a Beis Din. Okay, so you got to get two new guys to serve as the to go on the bench and to become a Beis Din of three. V'yomer mekudash achodesh mekudash she'ena yachin neman ayide atzmo. What is that Mishnah Rosh Hashanah clearly telling you? You can't serve as a double role. You can't testify and then move on to the bench and serve as part of the bench. Two people have to step off the bench, strictly serve as witnesses, and you're going to need two new people on the bench. It's clear that you cannot take on a dual role of witness and judge, and you're either one or you're the other, and you can't be both.
But can't one testify at a time and two sit on the bench?
No, you need a Beis Din of three. Okay. The Isagadacha Day Nasadai Lamalikula highlights for Baduch Tai Velikdashu. So the Gemara asks basically that question. I don't understand. Why don't we need two more? Why don't we need to introduce two new people? You have three people over here. Great. Two people will testify. Who are they testifying to? Themselves. Or to the third. And then they'll just simply serve as judges. Why can't that happen? The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says it can't. And the reason why it can't happen is because Ain Aid Nasa Dayan. Because when you're a witness, you cannot then serve as a judge. So Amrli Afli Didi Kashali. So he says, that's such a magnificent question. I have the same question as well. Vishita Larav Yitzhak Bashmo Barmata Rav Yitzhak Larav Huna Rav Huna Lechia Barav Vichia Barav Larav. And the question gets getting kicked upstairs, goes all the way to Rav Amrlu Hanach Leidus Achorish Da Raisa Vikim Sharis Da Rabbanan. Okay, here's the magic line. Gemara says, we're talking about Eidos HaChodesh. Eidos HaChodesh is a din d'oraisa, the mitzvah in the Torah to be Mekadesh HaChodesh. And to be Mekadesh HaChodesh, I'll be Eidim. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Parshas Bo. Meanwhile, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about Kiyum Sharis, authenticating a document. Authentication of a document does not need to occur in a Torah, like we discussed in the beginning of the shiur today, like we've been discussing for the last 3 days. But here the Gemara says it straight out. That's a din d'rabbanan. And therefore, the rabbis were mako. So over here, if I have three people, and two of the three know the signature, so they're going to testify to the third, so they served as witnesses, and then they can jump, and they can move right onto the bench, and they can also serve as the judges as well. Generally speaking, that's a no-no, but over here, yes, you can. It's not a problem. Good. With the Gemara over here says unequivocally that when it comes to Eidos D'oraisa, so you're either a witness or you're a judge, but you cannot be both. Why can't you be both? The Gemara does not give an explanation. Take a look at Tosfos over here, very basic. Tosfos discusses why that's true. Why can't be that a witness can become a judge? There's a drasha, and then there's an intuitive reason. So first Tosfos quotes a drasha. Bottom Tosfos on the Amud. Hanach leidos achodesh d'oraisa v'd'oraisa ein eid nasa dayan. Min haTorah, a witness cannot become a judge. V'taima de'ein eid nasa dayan. Mishun de'be'inan she'idu f'nei hadayanim. Because part of the process of Eidos is that you have to testify. And who do you have to testify? In front of judges. That's why you can't serve as a double role of a witness and a judge. Because unless you have a split personality, you cannot testify to yourself. You have to testify to another party. Okay. So, Kemosh Pirush Rashbam, Dechsiv, and it's a drasha. V'amdu shnei Hashem Elu ha'edim lefnei Hashem. Elu ha'dayanim. Okay, so basically, point number one says Tosfos, it's a drasha. It's a procedural issue that when you have witnesses, witnesses have to testify in front of a judge. And that's why you can't move and you can't jump from being a witness to being a judge. V'yesh mefarshim, I planted you today, Ben. V'yesh mefarshim, mishum debi'inan eidu she'yata yachol azima. So the Gemara says, and also there's another point to consider as well. Eidos. What is the litmus test for Eidos? Meaning, what qualifies you as a good Eid? So first of all, you have to be sin-free. Okay, it's a minor detail. No gambling, no stealing, no theft. Okay, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah in the third Perek, good. On top of that, also you have to be hazamable. Okay, you know I made up that word. But you have to be subject to hazama. Meaning that you have to have exposure. Where? Possibility for two other witnesses to come and to say, I don't know what they're talking about. Iman Ayisim Bamakim Ploni, they were with us at the time. And you have to be able to be subject to the idea that you're going to receive the punishment that you're trying to inflict on the Baal Din.
Much like in the Flume video on
Eidus HaChodesh. Excellent reference. No one's listening is going to understand that, but that's fine. And furthermore, I'm reading on in Tosos. Now imagine, if these witnesses now become judges, do you think they're ever going to prosecute themselves? Of course not. The Edom HaMazim are going to come in. We have the following to say about those witnesses. And those judges says, you're going to say something about those witnesses? Those witnesses were the best. They're excellent. And of course, they were us. Of course, once the witnesses become judges, they're not going to hear anything incriminating about the witnesses, and therefore it's Eidus She'i Atah Yochol Lazima. So Tosfos says, I don't need a drasha. It could be just as simply a svara in terms of why it is that an Eid cannot be a Dayan. Good. Very basic. Tosfos over here, why it is that an Eid cannot be a Dayan. Again, just to quickly to recap, either number one, it's a drasha, meaning it's part of the process, part of a procedural issue that a witness has to testify in front of a judge. Or two, it has to do with the fact that the testimony, in order to be valid testimony, has to be subject to azama. You need a possibility of exposure. And over here, if they're witnesses becoming judges, so then obviously they're not going to incriminate themselves or hear incrimination about themselves. Continuing the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Shlosh Yishiyash V'lekayim V'sashar V'kari Ira L'chad Mehem. Let's say you have three people who are sitting down to ratify, to authenticate a signature. And one of them becomes the subject of serious suspicion. Now, Ira over here means suspicion, but as the Gemara will say in just a moment, it's more than just rumors and allegations. There actually were people coming forward and saying, that person cannot possibly sit on the bench for reasons we're about to explore. So, Al Echad Mehem, Ad Shelo Chasmo Me'idan Alav V'Chosem. So, if this all happens before they actually sign, so the other two can save his reputation and say, I don't know what you're talking about. Wonderful man. This third person who is under suspicion, we're telling you that he's not under suspicion. So the Gemara says, again, another halacha said over in the name of Rav, that's fine. So the two judges can save his reputation, they can sign. However, Misha Chasvay made an alav, v'chosim. However, if after they already signed on the Ashrata, on the Kiyum, then and only then do the allegations come about this third judge, that he's no good. So then, the two cannot testify about the one. Why not? Look at the last Rashi on this Amud. Rashi writes, Mishachasmu, Havaluhu no gain be'edus, Shiganai lam shiyashu impsul bedin. Because now, they're no gea bedavar. They're no gea bedavar, they are not unbiased anymore. They are biased because what just happened? They already signed together with a guy who is now subject to allegations and serious allegations, as we'll see in just a moment. So they're obviously going to want to save their own reputation, and that's going to motivate them to say something good or nice about this third. At that point in time, they lose their objectivity. We're not talking about the Edom right now. We're talking about the Dayanim. So just wait 1 second. So the V'chosem Mishachasmein Meidim Alav. V'chosem, I'm sorry. V'chosem. Iridamai. The Gemara says, okay, a little more context, please. What are we talking about? What exactly is being said about this third judge? So So the Gemara says, our two witnesses coming forward and saying, hey, this man is a Gazlan, meaning the third judge. In other words, the rules of witnesses and judges are more or less the same. Again, going back to the third paragraph of Sanhedrin. Meaning, you cannot serve as a witness if you're a thief. Shockingly enough, not so shocking. You can't serve as a judge if you're a thief. So two witnesses are coming forward and they're saying, this man is a Goslin. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's think about this now. Two people come over and say he's a Goslin. The two other judges... Again, this is before they sign. They're going to now try to vindicate him. And they're going to say, no, he's not. To which the Gemara says, okay, so what do we have right now? We have two witnesses saying he's a Gazlan, two saying he's not. So that's called in halacha an impasse. Trey or Treininu, top of Chav Beis Manalev. So that's two against two. Look at Rashi. Look at the top Rashi in Chav Beis Manalev. It's two against two. Ki Amri Lo Gazal Havalu Trey. Trey. V'lo Miskasher Bahachi. The Kaimel on the Kamet Beperkin Ain Ira Parchos Mishnayim. The word ira means that there were two witnesses. If two witnesses come along and say that he was Gazlan, and two saying that he's not, so how can you actually allow him to serve on the bench? That is Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. Tosvos really struggles with this pshat. I'm not going to go through Tosvos inside, but you can see the Tosvos on the top of Chav Beis Manalev. Tosvos says, I don't understand. Let's talk about this third judge. Right now, two people step forward and said, hey, he's no good. Two people, meaning the two people on the bench, the two other judges on the bench said, no, what are you talking about? He's fine. He's perfectly fine. To which the Gemara says, well, that rules him out. Tosu says that rules him out. I don't understand. Where did he start off in terms of chazaka? He's kasher. And now what do I have? Two conflicting witnesses. Again, we said this yesterday. When I have two witnesses who are machishim zedzeh, so what happens? Two forces equal but opposite equals zero. Now what do I have? I go back to the chazaka. What was his chazaka? He was good. Innocent until proven guilty. So Tosu says on Rashi's pshat, I'm not following. What's going on over here? Here you have a guy who starts off with the chesed kashrus. Some witnesses say he's good. Some witnesses say he's no good. Okay, so they knock each other out. So can we go back to now where we started? Which was that he's fine. Tosfos has difficulty with Rashi's pshat. The defense of Rashi, right? The Rishonim say this. You see this in the back. The Rif, the defense of Rashi goes like this. Rashi is very defendable. Tosfos's point is an excellent point. But consider the following. What's this third judge going to do? He's going to put his name to a document that's going to remove money away from somebody else. Meaning, it's true that this man has a cheskas guf, but at the same time, however, hey, the Baal Din, the litigant says, don't take my money. And you're going to take my money based on a questionable individual? I also have a chazaka, cheskas mamon. If you're going to take money away from me, there better be two good witnesses signing on the document and three good judges who are being Mekayim the Shtar. And if there aren't three good judges being Mekayim the Shtar, and by good, meaning, if there are two witnesses coming forward and saying, hey, that third judge is a Gazlan, okay, I'm not saying he is, I'm not saying he isn't, but don't take money out of my hands based on that third judge. That's the that would be a very easy defense of Rashi. And that's how the Rishonim defend Rashi. Okay, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so if two witnesses coming forward and saying that the third judge is a Gazlan, he cannot sign on that document. Doesn't matter if the two other judges feel that he's good, doesn't matter. He can't sign on the document. And the Begam Mishpacha, and the Gemara says, and what are they saying about him? Maybe they're saying something about his family lineage. Rashi says over here, maybe they're declaring him to be an Eved. An Eved cannot serve as a judge. So Gilu Milsa Ba'amahu. So the Gemara says, that's not testimony, that's what's called Gilu Milsa Ba'amah. Meaning, that's just discovery. Discovery is not testimony. We're gonna find it out, we're going to learn it, we'll do research, but don't put that under the category of testimony. That's just simple discovery. So, and if that's true, so, we'll research, we'll discover, and then we'll move from that point forward. But that's not ear error. Ear error means two people are testifying. So, la'olamim l'chayir de gazanusa. So, the Gemara says like this. Now, we're going to go back to our first proposal, and that is that two witnesses have stepped forward and says that third judge is a Gazlan. And v'ka'amre, what are the two other judges saying? They're saying very simply, Hani Yadin and Bei David Shuva. You know what? We're not arguing with what you're saying. You're right. He was. And do you know what else? He's good. Meaning, he was a Gazlan and he did Shuva. Look at Rashi over here. Rashi describes Shuva, v'heshev etzegzela. Right, interesting Rashi. Rashi says the magic of tshuva when it comes to theft is return the item that you stole. Returning the item that you stole is in fact a kiyum of tshuva. Meaning, not only did you do good on the theft, but you also expunged your record. Okay, interesting. You know, is it, you could argue that maybe tshuva goes, you know, tshuva to become now a judge. We're talking about becoming a judge. Maybe tshuva requires a little bit more than that, but certainly Rashi says that seems to be enough. Anyway, I'm Rabbi Zera, I'm also Rabbi Abi Shami Alevi, Ilav Rabbi Abba Demin Akko, Shechachti. So, I heard this from Abi Abba, and had it not been for him, I would have forgotten, and that's the following. Gimel Shiyash L'Kaim Esashtar Umeisechan Mehem. Three people are coming to certify a document. And they sat down, and they heard testimony, and they were good. So you had three people who were there, and heard testimony that these signatures were in fact good signatures. And unfortunately, before they signed, what happened? One of them died. Umeisechan Mehem. Tzrich L'Mechtav. So here's what you're going to write for the Ashrata. So for the certification, for the authentication, they're going to write, but most of Kalasa Havina, we were together with three, V'chad Litave, V'chad Leisawi, and one is no longer with us. Meaning, you just simply have to articulate, in the Ashrata, it was a Beis Din, the Beis Din heard it, but unfortunately, when it came time for signing, so the one died.
So can't you use the same argument and say two judges that recognize a signature can sign on a certification?
No, but you need a Beis Din, and again the Beis Din has to be three.
But you had three.
Good. That's exactly the point. That's perfect. That's exactly the point. There was three. All the Gemara's point over here is you just have to write that out on the Ashrata, so that at a later point in time someone looks at the document and says, interesting, two people signed on the henpek, on the Ashrata. That, why? But when you read the Ashrata, now you know why. He was there. I'm Rav Nachman. It's like Vikasa Beishtara Dina Nafek LeKadmana Beidina V'Sulo Tzarech. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. Even if you don't spell out that detail that one of them died, as long as you write that testimony was provided in front of a Beis Din, everyone knows the Beis Din is made up of three. So the Gemara says, V'Dilma Beis Din Chatzafu. So the Gemara says, well, how do you know? You know, there are some Chutzpahdik Beis Dins. Okay, the chutzpah goes all the way to Beis Din? Sure it does. It's the beginning of Sanhedrin. We're going to see this together. Where some are of the opinion that even though Beis Din should be made up of three, but if it's made up of two, it's what's called a chutzpahdik Beis Din. Okay, and it's not recommended, but it works. So Gemara says maybe that was the case over here. Ukedishmol damashmol shnaim shedanu dinayim din. Shmuel's of the opinion that two who sin in judgment, it works. It's a judgment. The matter has been adjudicated. Allah, Shenikra, Beis Din Chatzof. The only thing is that in terms of, do we like it? No, we don't like it. We have a name for it. It's called the Chutzpahdik Beis Din. But Meikar Adin, according to the strict letter of the law, works. Dechsiv Beis. So the Gemara says, okay. So when you have, it's an unusual circumstance, but when you have a Beis Din who heard the testimony about the signatures, and one of them died, writing a Beis Din is not enough right now, argues the Gemara, because maybe there really was, the person who's going to see it later on is going to say maybe there were two, and it's just maybe a chutzpahdik Beis Din. So the Gemara says, Beis Dina de Rabbana Ashi. So the Gemara says, well, if you write the following, you heard it in front of the Beis Din of the community of Rav Ashi. So, community of Rav Ashi, they're not going to have a chutzpahdik Beis Din, they're going to have a Beis Din of three. V'dilma Rabbanan de Beis Rav Ashi k'dishmo sver lo. The Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe they hold like Shmuel. Dechziv Bey v'amar lana Rabbanan Ashi. The Gemara says in the Ashrata, in the Kiyom, it was written, you know, Rav Ashi instructed us to do the following. Okay, and that would be a good indication in terms of this was done in front of a Beis Din of three. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the discussion.
The basic question, the authentication time, when is it done? Is it done at the time of collection?
In other words, can you do it, can you do the authentication right at the writing of the get?
Right.
Document.
Right.
Right, that's a great question. I don't know.
If you do that, then
you're good. Then you went through the security measure. Unclear when it has to be done. And it's such a basic question. And you know, the Gemara, we finished the Gemara.
There's a challenge to that coming out later. Actually, it's so long. This is why you can't do this.
Well, I'll tell you the simple
challenge.
The simple pshat in the Gemara is that even if it goes unchallenged, you can't collect without the Kiyum Shtaris. I say that because, remember, the whole discussion started based on the witnesses saying, we're going to be Mekayim the Shtar, which means you can't collect until we say that the signatures are good, and let's give you more information. HaPesha Asro, HaPesha Itter. Simple pshat in the Gemara is that you can't collect until Kiyum is done. Okay. At the time, right. Could be. It's a basic question. I don't know the answer. We are at the Mishnah. We're on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, and we are leaving the world of Kiyum Shtaris, but we're not leaving the world of Pesach Asar or Pesach Yitir. So here we go. Mishnah discusses the following. So the woman comes into town. Nobody knows anything about her. We have no history on her. And she forwards the following information. I was married. Vigarusha ani. And I also got a divorce. She has no documentation. Had she had documentation, so then we wouldn't need her to declare anything. But again, what do we have over here? She incriminated herself. Incrimination, by the way, you know, don't take me too literally, just simply means that she put herself in a position of iser by saying she was married. And then she also forwarded more information. So what do we have? The principle of a pesha asur or pesha yitir. Grushani ne'menesha pesha asur or pesha yitir. V'im yeshedim shai sa'isha sishvihi omres grushani eno ne'menes. But of course, if she was not the one who forwarded that information that she was married, if we get that information from outside sources, and now she's trying to release herself from the status of Eish HaSish, and she has no documentation, so then she's not believed. Amanish Beisi Vatarani. Once again, now a woman comes into town and she offers the following information. I was taken into captivity. The default assumption of women are taken into captivity is that she was violated. And she comes back and she says, she's telling us that she was taken into captivity. And then she's also saying, Taharani, I am Tahara. Now, in this case, what does she mean? What does she mean to say when she's Tahara? She's saying that she's Muteres Kohen. We know the halacha is that if a woman had relations with a non-Jew, she cannot marry a Kohen. She has a status. She cannot marry a Kohen. She's saying, I was put into that position of Shvuya and Taharani. Ne'menesha, Peshasar, Hua Peshiter. But if witnesses come and said she was taken into captivity, so in other words, we have outside sources, she was taken into captivity. So now she's no longer believed because her credibility cannot remove her from a status that she herself didn't put herself in. The However, if after she got married, the outside sources came in along and said that she was taken into captivity, so she can remain in that marriage, and the Gemara later on will discuss that. Last case. Okay. My yes isn't so absolute. Again, the Gemara later on is going to discuss it. I'm Rabbi Asi, minayin la pesha asur pesha yitir, min haTorah. Okay, and Gemara starts off with a basic question. And you know, this is how the Gemara works. We have now been discussing a pesha asur pesha yitir now since the beginning of the parak. So that is since Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, 15b. And now on Chav Beis, short week later, in Daf Yomi terminology. So the Gemara now asks such a simple question. How do you know? Meaning, what's the source for it? Okay, but that's the way the Gemara works. The bigger questions are asked later on. The detailed questions are discussed in the beginning. I'm Rabbi Asi, Minayin La Pesha Asur HaPesha Yitir Min HaTorah. How do we know that this principle is in fact so? What's the source? Shenemar is Biti Nasati Leisha Zeh. A man can come forward and testify that I gave my daughter over to this man. The Torah affords an opportunity for a father to marry off his daughter who is a ketana. So he has the right to marry off, and he can also make the declaration. Is biti nazat leisha zeh leisha as a wife leish asra hazeh hitira. So the Gemara says, what do we have over here? Look at the words. I gave my daughter off to a man. Now, if he stopped there at that point in the sentence, what is he saying? My daughter's married. What did he just do? He created Isser. At that point now, just based on that one statement alone, so now his daughter is married. To whom? We don't know. She now is Asura. And then, how's that? He says, he identifies which man. So that is HaPesha Asar, Hu HaPesha Hitir. So the Gemara says, give me 1 second. Lamali cross varahi. So the Gemara says, I don't need a drasha, meaning the principle, the concept of a pesha asur, pesha heter, is an intuitive principle. The Gemara describes it as svara. It's interesting. Generally speaking, we have halacha based on psukim, based on drashas. It's not often, it is very infrequent, that the Gemara says it's just something that's so intuitive, I don't need a drasha. Here's one example. I'd be hard pressed to think of other examples right now, but here's one. Svaruhu, I'm sorry, lamali kras svarahi, hu asra v'hu sharila. Once you have the ability to create iser, you have the ability to create heter as well. Elaki iser kri. Now, as far as the drasha is concerned, the Gemara says, I don't need the drasha for a pesha aser or a pesha heter. Drasha is for something else. What else is it coming for? The Gemara now explains. Lich the Ravuna Amarav minayin lav shenem al asur as bito minatara. How do I know that the father has the ability to create iser for his daughter minatara? Shenem as bisi natal deilish. In other words, a man has the ability, the credibility to create iser for his daughter, and based on the pasuk. Now, hazeh lamali. Now, why do I need the word hazeh? Now, remember, we no longer need this pasuk for apesh asur or apesh eter because the Gemara says as far as all you need it. So, why do I have the extra word hazeh? Mi ba'ilei lechid d'ni Rabbi Yona d'ni Rabbi Yona is betina sazelish hazeh hazeh v'lo liyavam. The ability, this parsha of motzi shemra. Remember, this in the context, the pasuk is in the context of Motzi Shemra, where after a man marries off his daughter, the husband comes along and he starts making up stories and lies about this girl, and the father is obviously defending his daughter, and the Torah goes on to say, what if he was lying? So he's Motzi Shemra, and actually we're going to be discussing later in the Masechta exactly what the ramifications are. The Gemara says that this Parsha and all the ramifications and the punishments of Motzi Shemra is only when he marries off his daughter, Nisuin. But in terms of Yibum, so then there is no, the halachas of Motzi Shemra don't apply. Now, most of the time in Yibum, this will not be her first time being married, meaning she will not be a Besula. But as we've discussed already, there are occasions where even a Yavam can be a Besula. In other words, let's say her husband died after Erisin. Okay, we move on. I'm sorry, Ben, you had a question?
This is regarding a third person, though. It's not regarding self.
No, it's regarding yourself. What do you mean? The Mishnah's example
is talking about himself, and in the Torah, he's talking about his own daughter. He's not talking about himself.
Okay, but in other words, if he has okay, that part's true. But the point is that if you can create Isser, you at the same time with your own verbal declaration can create Heter as well.
He had this situation recently.
Yeah, I know about it. I'd rather just stay on task over here with the Gemara. The Tosfos over here, once again, let me just quote Tosfos again. Very, very bottom Tosfos, right? Probably Tosfos Yishonim. Interesting. The Gemara says, how do I know that the father has the ability to state that his daughter is married? And just by the statement alone, it has credibility, so it's based on a drasha. Tosfos says, you know, we have a concept of biado. The concept of biado is that when you have power and control to do something, you also have ne'emanus. You also have credibility. We've seen this idea express itself time and again throughout Shas. So this is the principle of biado. So the Gemara says, once Tosfos is bothered by a very simple question. If that's true, so over here, if he's allowed to marry off his daughter, which he is, so then he should be extended credibility when he says that he did. Simply because he can do it, it's within his control, so therefore he has credibility. And Tosfos is bothered by a very simple question. Why is the Gemara over here giving me a drasha when I know this principle of biado? Interesting. Tosfos' answer, it's a lengthier discussion. I'm just giving you the highlights. Tosfos' answer is, we're talking about marriage over here. In other words, we're talking about the control, his power to marry off his daughter.
Only as a minor.
Agreed. But in other words, his power to marry off his daughter. Yes, it's true he has the power to marry off his daughter, but what does he need in order to marry her off? He needs a man. Meaning, biado means it's totally within my control and within my power. Over here, you need a consenting other party, otherwise known as a suitor, as a husband. That may not be so. You know, Tosfos over here reminds me. We don't make brachas on mitzvos ben adam l'chaveiro. Right? There's a general rule. Right? You give tzedakah, you don't make a bracha. Right? You do any... You visit the sick. I know it's not a mitzvah ben Torah, but you visit the sick, you don't make a bracha. Why don't you make brachas on ben adam l'chaveiro? So, a couple of reasons that are given. But one of the reasons that's given is that because when you do a mitzvah ben adam l'makom, it's totally within your control. Meaning, I'm going to take the lulav and esrog again, and it's totally within my control. When I give tzedakah, what do I need? Right, there's another person involved. In other words, this is a mitzvah that's not totally contingent on me. I need the person to receive the money. Now, I know most of the time he will take the money, but we're talking fundamentally. Fundamentally, the point is that you make brachas on things that are totally and exclusively within your control. But once you need another party, so then you don't make a... One of the arguments is that's why I don't make brachas on mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveiro. Tosfos says same thing over here. Without the drasha, it's not totally biado, because you need another party in order for him to get married, in order for his daughter to get married.
This applies also. How could this apply to blowing shofar, for example?
Well, that's ben adam l'makom, meaning that's...
But you need 10 people.
You don't need... It's nice to have 10. You don't need 10 people for shofar.
You
could
do it one.
Well, you could, right? Okay. It's... right. Maybe minion you can make. But, okay. Okay. Well, for Bein Adam L'Chaveiro?
Yeah.
Meaning any mitzvah, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro.
There are two reasons that you don't say bracha.
There are other reasons that are given. For another time. I just thought about it because Tosfos is over here. Okay. Okay, back to the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Yep. Chav Beis Amud Aleph, towards the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan Isha Sha'amra Isha Thish Ani V'chazra V'asra, I'm sorry, V'amra Penuya Ani Ne'emanis. So we have a brisa. The brisa says that a woman says that she was married, and then she later along says that she was single. She's believed. Okay? Gemara says, now, mind you, by the way, that's not like the Mishnah. Meaning, that's not exactly the same as the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that she was married, but she also got divorced. Over here, it's a little stranger. She says she was married, and then now it's not clear from the Gemara. It's not clear from the Gemara. It's Tochid de Dibor. It's not Tochid de Dibor. I know that's a discussion, but let's table that discussion. And by tabling, I mean not now. But anyway, right? But correct. Over here, it's stranger because over here, what are you doing? You said you're married. Now you say you're single, and the Braisa says she's believed. The Gemara says, what's going on? That's strange. She made herself usher by declaring herself to have been married. Amarava baravuna kigon shenat namatla l'dvareha. Gemara says if she gives a namatla, amatla is Rashi says. Rashi, by the way, is on the top of the next amud. Rashi says the word amatla comes from the word mashal. If she can give a rational explanation of what just happened over there, then we believe her. Let's go over some examples of a plausible explanation. Umaisa nami. I'm sorry, I skipped. Yeah, Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna Kigon Shanas Na'amat L'Dvara. Tanya Namei Achi Amar Aisha Tisha Ani V'Chazra Ma Penuya Ani Eino Ne'emenes. V'imna Na'amat L'Dvara Ne'emenes. Ah, the Braisa says very clearly that if she gives a plausible explanation, she's believed. U'maitha Namei Bishachas Gedola Shaisa Gedola Benoi. So the Gemara says, let's tell you a story. Woman, she was beautiful. And the suitors were lining out the door. V'kavtso La B'nei Adam L'Kashva Amar Lehem Mekudesh Tani. And she tells all the students, look, do me a favor. Sorry, you guys are too late. I already accepted Kedushin from a man. And then, days later, years later, she accepts Kedushin from another man. So Chachamim said to her, wait a second. Didn't you already accept Kedushin? She says, no, let me explain to you. It's very simple. Those students that came to me years ago, look at them. They were not... They were not my class. All right. And Aksha Shabbat Alay Anashim Uganim. Now I got a suitor who I felt was appropriate. I'm not to be Kedashi as me. So I'm explaining to you. I said Mikudeshes, but just to be quote unquote polite in dismissing these non worthy suitors. But now I had a suitor that was worthy. So now, but that explains what I said earlier. Vizu Allah Ella Ravacha. Sarah Abir Lifne Chachamim Beusha Va'amru Im Nasna Malad Varane Menas Agun. So if she gave a good explanation, a plausible explanation, so we believe her. A woman says to her husband that she's an Edom, and then afterwards she says, no, I wasn't. So once again, same halacha. If she gives a plausible explanation, that's good. Amalei apazui matna amatla ledvareha ne'emen is top of the next amud. If she gives a plausible explanation, she's believed. Tana mine arbaim zimnen. He learned it from him 40 times. Right, Chazara in the Gemara always is 40. The 40 is a it's not a magical number. It's the number of times that we should chazar. Okay. I'm good if I chazar the Gemara once after the daf. I'm not great about it, but I'm pretty good about it. But the Gemara says you gotta do it 40 times. So if I'm really committed to chazara, another 39 times every day. So the Gemara says, so we reviewed it 40 times. Afilo hachilo v'shmo uvda benafshe. And interestingly enough, Shmuel was machmir. Meaning, Rashi says, I know it's indelicate, but Rashi says that his wife one day went over to Shmuel and said she was an Ida. And then she gave an explanation, and it was a plausible explanation. And the halacha is that you believe her with a plausible explanation. But for whatever reason, the Gemara doesn't fill in the details, but for whatever reason, Shmuel was machmir, and Shmuel would not be with his wife until she toveled in the mikvah.
Okay. What about the
Mitzvah
and all that?
All I'm doing right now is reporting. I'm saying it over like Rashi. Rashi says, Lo Av Shmuel, right, the fourth line down, Pamachas Amar Lo Ishto came, Venasta Malal Dvareha, Upirishim Menu Asha Tavlo. I'm just staying over the Gemara like Rashi. I hear you. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, no. Let's pause over here. Okay, this is good stopping point. Not the finishing of the daf, but it's the right place to stop. Okay, today we finished the Kiyum Shtaros. Kiyum Shtaros. We saw the Gemara say that it's a din d'rabbana, not a din d'oraisa, and notably allows for a kula. The most notable kula that we discussed today is that in Kiyum Shtaros you can be a witness and then you can also be a judge. On Torah law, you cannot do that. You cannot be a witness and become a judge. And we saw Tosfos over here, very basic discussion, why that's true, why a witness cannot become a judge. Either it's a procedural issue, or it's because you need to be subject to a zamah. Then we went on to discuss, what if one of the judges is accused of being a pasul? So, and then two people defending him. And so, unless you can argue that he did tshuva, he cannot serve as a judge. Okay, and that's and we had a Rashi, and we defended Rashi. And then we moved on to the discussion of more Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. Notably, a woman comes forward and she comes into town and she says, I was married, but now I was divorced. Or other examples as well. We have the principle of Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. How do we know about this principle? The Gemara thought it to be a drasha, but then the Gemara says it's a Svara. It's just intuitive in nature. And then finally today, we covered the topic of Amatla. If you say something and then later on you make a contradictory statement, if you give a plausible explanation as to why you said the statement in the first place, so then you're believed. And we'll pause over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow.